Welcome back to the Swamp, my friends, and welcome if you're new. Today we're going to be sharing some creepy and downright strange deep woods horror stories that'll freak you out tonight. As always, if you have a story that you would like to share in a future episode, be sure to submit your story at swampdweller.net. I'd love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp. It's stories like yours that truly help keep this show going on a daily basis. Now, without further ado, let us get ready to go slap up some skin wussies and some big feet out there. Be sure to slap that like button, subscribe if you're new, turn on notifications so you don't miss a new episode, and get ready for these creepy and downright disturbing deep woods horror stories that'll freak you out tonight. I am a 16-year-old girl, and the incident I'm about to describe happened when I was about 14 years old. Our family lived in a two-story house near the woods. My parents, three brothers, Drew, Jake, and Michael, and I spent most of our days playing in the woods until it got dark, or our parents called us in. However, this incident occurred when our parents let the four of us kind of just do whatever we wanted. Let me describe myself. I have long mocha brown hair with fawn brown highlights and black eyes, and I'm half Korean. That day I wore a white long sleeve square shirt and a dark gray sweatpants. Now back to the story. It was around 4:50 to 7:15. Drew is 14, Jake is 13, and Michael is 18. Being the oldest, Michael was tasked with watching over us while our parents were out. I was chilling in the living room, adjacent to a sliding door leading to the porch and into the woods that surrounded where we lived. Michael was on a call with his girlfriend, while Drew and Jake were engrossed in their video game in their room. 2 hours passed when I suddenly heard a knocking on the sliding door. I glanced over and there was nobody there. I ignored it and continued looking at my phone. However, the sound persisted, and I heard something hitting the sliding door. Curiosity got the better of me, and I got up to investigate. Foolishly, I didn't ask my brother to accompany me. As I opened the sliding glass door and peered into the forest to see what caused the noise, I spotted a figure behind an old, dilapidated tree. It was human-like, dressed in a black hoodie and blue-ripped jeans, with a white smiling mask covering its face. Instantly, I felt a surge of fear and was about to retreat when the figure darted towards me with alarming speed. I attempted to flee and run back, but the figure grabbed my hair, sending a shiver down my spine. I think my older brother Michael heard me scream because suddenly I heard a gunshot, and the figure recoiled, clutching its shoulder. Seizing the opportunity, I ran away from the assailant and found Michael holding a shotgun aiming it at the figure. As the assailant looked at me, they quickly vanished into the woods. Michael came to check on me, making sure I was okay. I nodded my head, feeling relieved. 4 months later, a news report emerged about the capture of the exact figure whom I'd encountered. The individual had been involved in a fifth-degree murder, whatever that means. When I reflect on the incident, I still wonder how things might have turned out if I had been the target. Hey there, Swamp Dweller. Remember not too long ago, I shared my encounter with what could have been a dogman. Well, last week I had another unnerving experience. I had mostly forgotten about my previous encounter, until now. It's important to note that we've been dealing with trespassers and illegal hunters in the woods next to my house for some time. To address a potential safety concern, I installed 3 cameras along the wood line behind my house, spaced every 20 feet or so. These cameras are facing into the woods. Moreover, there has been a recent clearing of trees in the woods behind my house, and someone has erected a cabin there, which is visible from my backyard. These 3 cameras are older models I received from a friend who no longer used them. They can only take about 30 pictures each and have film stored in them. I mounted them 8 feet off the ground and had only installed them about a week before the incident. It was around 7 a.m. on a Monday, and the sun was beginning to rise. I was pulling out of my driveway, getting ready for work, when I noticed something significant and white near the tree line. I got out of my car to investigate and found a deer skeleton. It had been completely gutted with nothing left, not even the eyes. At first, I thought it might be some sick prank, but I know everyone around here, and no one would do something like this. Upon closer inspection, I noticed slightly fresh blood on some of the bones. The trail of blood led toward the woods and disappeared at the tree line. I decided to check the footage from my tree cameras to see if they captured anything, but to my dismay, they were torn off the tree and smashed to pieces. The film inside was crushed and tangled beyond recovery. However, I found a small piece of golden fur on the edge of one of the cameras. It triggered memories of the encounter with the creature, leading me to believe it was responsible for this destruction. My mind was flooded with questions, and I felt disturbed by this whole situation. I reported the destroyed cameras to the sheriff's office and had the game warden come by to clean up the carcasses. The game warden mentioned they had never seen a carcass so thoroughly picked clean, with all the bones intact. I checked the cameras on my house, but unfortunately they didn't capture anything. The area where this happened was too dark and just out of sight, so I couldn't get anything clear. I'm not sure about the creature's intentions, but it's clear that it's aggressive and wants to avoid anything, and I don't want to be provoking it. I hope it doesn't decide to target me next, otherwise I might end up like that poor deer. I'll keep you updated if anything else happens. Greetings, Swamp Dweller. Firstly, I've had 4 paranormal experiences of my own. However, the one I'm about to recount was passed down to me by my grandfather through my father. My grandfather passed away in 1947 when my father was just 12 years old. Right before his passing, my grandfather shared this tale with my father. My grandfather was born in Greenwich, Connecticut in the year of 1900. He was passionate about fishing, camping, and working as a mechanic. He once told my father a story that has stayed with me over the years. As time went by, more details about this story have slowly emerged. From what I could gather, my grandfather had mentioned that he had worked at Port Chapman in Alaska from the years of 1938 to 1942. He had shared this story with my father twice before he passed away in 1947. According to him, he visited Port Chapman in 1938 and enjoyed his time there, pursuing his passions for fishing, camping, and mechanics. While there, he frequented local drinking establishments where folks shared tales of family and life experiences. One such story that left a lasting impression on him occurred in 1938 when a hunter claimed to have encountered a giant grizzly bear he had never seen before. The encounter was marked by a scream, unlike anything my grandfather had heard. My grandfather mentioned that there had been instances of people going missing before this incident, but after the hunter's story, such occurrences became more frequent. Hunters vanished without a trace, and grisly discoveries of dismembered remains became alarmingly common. Fearing for his safety, my grandfather left Port Chapman and never returned. He confided in my father and he believed undiscovered creatures were lurking in the wilderness. Though he never mentioned Bigfoot specifically, whatever the truth, I have read accounts suggesting that 1950s entirely deserted the Port Chapman area because of these monsters. Something significant must have been transpiring out there, and I'm not saying it was all because of Bigfoot eating people's kids or whatnot, but it does seem interesting that my father had very interesting stories about this place, and my grandfather, who had spent time there, swore by these stories. I'm from Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and this incident occurred in January of last year in the middle of winter. There's a trail called Chickie's Rock runs along the Susquehanna River right beside the Route 30 bridge crossing the river. It was a Sunday evening, around 4:30-ish, as it wasn't completely dark yet, but the sun was beginning to go down. We were walking along the trail, looking for a spot to smoke. My brother stepped off the trail to relieve himself, about 2 feet away while I continued walking. I want to stress that there was no one else on the trail and the parking lot was empty except for our car. As I looked down the trail about 30 yards from us, I noticed something very strange. It looked like an animal, but its features were unlike anything I had ever seen before. It had various characteristics resembling a kangaroo and a greyhound dog, with like a little bit of deer. Its color was a strange grayish hue, with very light fur, and it was moving oddly. I distinctly remember its hopping gait, almost as if it were momentarily standing on its hind legs. I called out to my brother, and he managed to catch a glimpse of it as well. The most bizarre part was that whatever it was, it seemed to be heading towards us. Once it noticed us looking at it, it quickly darted off the trail and into the woods. Keep in mind, this was winter, so there were no leaves or bushes obscuring our view, yet despite the lack of dense foliage, we could not see it anymore. It was inexplicable how it vanished so suddenly. The area wasn't heavily wooded, the trees were all bare, allowing us to see clearly between everything. We tried to rationalize what we saw but have yet to really discuss it. Nevertheless, my brother and I are confident that whatever creature we encountered that day was unlike anything native to Central PA. Does anyone have any ideas what we could have seen? Hello, Swamp Dweller. I live in rural Southwest Virginia, nestled in the Appalachian region. A few nights ago, I had a peculiar experience while wandering alone in the woods. It was around 7 p.m. and it was nearly pitch black outside. I was playing airsoft by myself and enjoying the tranquility of the woods behind my home. As someone who enjoys a somewhat solitary existence, I find peace in spending time among nature. As I walked through the forest, I came across a feeling that didn't feel so nice. I was in the clearing on top of a hill and decided to take a break. Suddenly, I began to hear an unusual whistling sound. The tune was unfamiliar to me, and the sound seemed to be coming from behind me. Close to the property line that we share with our neighbor, no more than maybe 150 feet away from me. Instantly, a chill ran down my spine and an unsettling feeling of being watched washed over me. Without hesitation, I sprinted towards home, leaping over rocks and branches. The whistling ceased shortly after I began my retreat, but the sensation of being observed lingered. Though I glanced back as I opened a gate, I saw nothing, perhaps due to the darkness and the distance I had covered. I ruled out the possibility of the sound coming from a bird due to the absence of foliage on the trees and the ongoing cold weather. Moreover, no birds were visible, and the surrounding forest was eerily silent. Additionally, the whistling did not gradually intensify as one would expect if the source were getting closer. As someone who has spent a considerable amount of time in these woods, I had never encountered such a phenomenon before. Despite feeling fatigued, I remained lucid, dismissing the notion of hallucination. This encounter left an indelible mark on me, surpassing any previous feelings of being watched in these woods. Could it have been an animal? Perhaps, but our property is guarded by dogs and encounters with wildlife are infrequent, limited to the occasional deer or bear sighting. Our dogs occasionally bark into the woods but remained quiet during the episode. I am seeking clarity regarding this encounter. I am hesitant to dismiss it as mere wildlife, but I am not necessarily attributing it to a paranormal matter either.
My name is Luke and I am now 20 years old. This story happened to me when I was 17. This experience still gives me chills to this day. In May 2017, I found myself going out a lot more on my mountain bike. I was getting bored of cruising around the streets, so I wanted to go out for a trail, woodland bike ride. I have never been to Lee Woods before then. Personally, I do not think I will ever go alone again. After some research into different areas, Lee Woods seemed to be the best bet. Living only a couple of miles away was a nice bike ride. On arriving, it looked very peaceful, and I was almost in a dreamlike state by my first look at the place. For a woodland area in England, let alone Bristol, it was amazing. On going into the woods, I remembered seeing different colors at the start of each trail, signifying difficulty for bikers and length for walkers. Don't take my word on that bit. I still have no clue what they mean, honestly. So I decided to go down the blue-colored trail to see what was down there. Finding it exciting, I decided to go down the harder trail, and now, here's where it starts to get weird. I began having this weird sort of vision looking around as if I'm being swallowed by the woodland. Everything felt like it was getting bigger and further away. I brushed it off, but it turns out I lost track of time. I got lost in the trail. Now keep in mind I am very observant and aware of my surroundings. I then came to a strange opening. I could go left in the rough direction of the way out or right deeper into the woods. Me being me, I decided to go deeper into the woods. I came to a weird little trail that just had dodgy written all over it, metaphorically speaking. I went against my gut feeling of turning back and went down there. I came to a point of which the trail continued, but it was getting very dangerous, the trail being too bumpy for me to even walk down. I then turned back, but for a few minutes before turning back, I do not know why, but I was just standing still, staring down the trail. I felt like I was being watched from all angles, even though it would be near impossible to have that many eyes surrounding me in that area. I got nervous and began walking back up the hill as I was too tired to ride at this point. Keep in mind, my bike tires are completely solid, with no punctures, slow punctures, or even anything wrong at all. I wish I still had the pictures of the bike. Upon getting back to the spot where I originally went to the trail, that weird loss of time thing began. It felt as if the whole path had stretched by a half a mile, as if the woodland was moving. I begin walking up the path feeling that same eerie sensation of being watched as I did beforehand. This time, it felt a bit more sinister. It felt as if something were about to happen. Bearing in mind, I had not seen a single person now since I went down that first trail. I will explain the scenery before continuing. It is a long path, a slightly steep hill to my left, a narrow river to my right, maybe 4 feet deep and 4 feet wide. Bushes are on the other side of the river, with the odd tree every now and then. Upon getting about a quarter of the way up the slowly inclining path, I hear a woman crying behind a tree up ahead. I start slowing down my walking pace to try and get a look behind the tree, but the whole time I am thinking to myself, why would someone jump across to cry behind a tree? So I edge closer to the river to look behind to see if the person is okay. Also because many people go to Lee Woods to commit suicide. So I was hoping that maybe I could help this person. But you guessed it, there is no one there and the crying stopped. A bit weirded out, I just slowly turned away and started walking again. A bit quicker as I was unnerved. I have had a few paranormal experiences before this, but not in a place like this. Never in the woods. Usually it was in a house or some sort of building. So this was new to me. I had this sudden shiver as I was walking. Maybe a minute or so later, only a couple of meters away where I heard the crying, it started again. But this time it was opposite of me across the river. I did not bother looking. I started just going again in a bit of a jog. As I got faster, I heard the bushes rustling, as if there was something following me. Upon hearing this, I sped up and the crying became more and more hysterical. Bear in mind, my bike was fine before this moment in time. I have thought to myself, F this, I am gone. I try to hop on my bike with the adrenaline that was rushing through me, and I come to an almost sudden stop. My back tire on my bike had become completely flat out of nowhere, so I had no other choice but to sprint with my bike and pray for the best, and that I do not trip or end up having to throw it and run faster. With the crying person still close to me and keeping up, I am running faster and faster, praying I just get off this path that I was on. I had that feeling of wanting to cry because I could not actually do anything to help the situation or get out of it any faster. And after what felt like an hour, but was probably only 5 or 10 minutes, I could see the car park. The crying had stopped following me and getting closer, and started moving back down to where I first heard it. I sprinted out into the car park. I must have been as white as a sheet of paper and hysterical with my breathing and wheezing as multiple people in the car park turned to look at me like I was crazy. I saw the exit sign out of the car park and ran towards it, and, whilst doing so, I noticed my bike to be moving a lot smoother. I could not believe that my bike tire had suddenly regained all of its air. It was solid again, as it was before the unnerving crying person shenanigans. I jumped on my bike and got away from Lee Woods as fast as I could, and have never gone back, as every person I tell this story becomes more reluctant to go there with me. The thing that makes this story so scary to me is I have Irish heritage. In Irish folklore, there is a demon that we call the Banshee. She is seen in woodlands next to rivers and lakes washing blood off clothes. It is said that if you see her washing blood off clothes, the person who owns those clothes will die. Alternatively, if you hear her crying, it means death. I cannot remember the meanings exactly of the deaths, but it means either you or a loved one will die. Since 2017, I have lost my auntie, two of my best friends, and a dog. Lee Woods is no joke. There are many stories that have come out of Lee Woods, too. You can read online about them. Search up Lee Woods, L-E-I-G-H. It is rated 87th most haunted place in the UK, according to Higgypop. It is a popular spot in Bristol for suicides, or it was at least. Even the ghost of Isambard Kingdom Brunel has been spotted there. Looking over the suspension bridge, which he designed, I may submit some more stories soon, as I have a couple of more experiences I have had over the years. I grew up in Long Island, in a town called Kings Park. We had quite a few spots of dense woods and trails, but they were rather small, just a few hundred acres, and nothing in comparison to rural or mountain areas. They were awfully close to my house. There were two wooded areas, and so I would go to them nearly every single day from an incredibly young age. I very specifically remember visiting one of these spots on a clear day. I was incredibly young. I do not know why no one was watching me at the time, but I only had a single parent. This day I went deeper into the woods than I ever have before. I can remember feeling what I now know was trepidation as I slowly got farther into the woods. A very natural feeling for anyone in that situation, especially a child. I want to pause for a moment and share that I never believe people when they tell stories of paranormal experiences, and I always write them off as whatever, because I have experienced nothing like that throughout my life. However, I have had a few experiences recently, though, that have stuck with me, and there were a few from childhood. I just really need to get them off my chest, so I will finish this story, and I am not looking for trust, just to release myself from this. I continued through the woods until I came across a house. I remember that I was approaching it from the back and side, and I figured the front door must be on the other side of the home. I remember recognizing that it was, of course, an old house. As an adult now, I can place the architecture between the 1700s and the 1800s, and that would not be too old for the area. I remember the windows were dark, there was no light coming from inside, and the glass was rather intact. There was a fireplace that I would say I recall being made of stone, and, of course, the various random plants of the woods were overgrown around it, but not taking over the house entirely. The structure was not entirely clean, not maintained very well, not groomed, but at the same time, it seemed approachable and habitable. I was a curious, courageous, and rather adventurous kid, so I wanted to explore and enter the house. But I felt strongly compelled to leave quickly. It gets darker faster in heavy woods, and the light was fading. So I ran, and I ran through the woods to the street, and I kept going for a few blocks until I felt the feeling of being chased leave me. For a few years, I was afraid of those woods, and I never went more than just a few feet until I was a teenager. Once, A few friends and I went up in there to smoke weed. Another time, a girlfriend and I entered the trails from the opposite side of the woods. We drove her SUV off-road a little bit before turning around, but neither time did I go far enough in to see the house, and I was conscious of that. In my late 20s, I bought a new mountain bike. The woods were still there, trails untouched and had been there, and no development or culling of the woods had really ever taken place. I was out for a ride one day, and I got the thought to go back into those woods and find that house. So I did. It was a bright, beautiful day, early spring, and I went into the woods. I felt odd as I went deeper and deeper. Eventually, I got to the side, I went back through it, around it, and I investigated every inch of it. There were heavily beaten trails everywhere, jumps for bikes, etc. No house. Not even a footprint to where it could have stood. No ruins, no signs of trees being removed for trucks to come in and demolish the building. Nothing. It was like it never existed at all. The woods are not that large. You can ride around it on a mountain bike in minutes. It is big enough to feel alone, small enough not to get lost. I found nothing. So I carry with me the delusion of being a child and clearly seeing this house, feeling the fear of it, feeling watched from the inside, running from it, feeling chased and to return to find no evidence that it ever existed. I have the coordinates for you to plug into Google Earth so you can see the woods. The woods are bordered by highways and neighborhoods. None of them are new, and all predate even my own existence on this planet. The house I saw was deep in the woods, surrounded by nothing but trees and weeds. No streets, nothing. So how could it just disappear? I am a woman in my 40s. And happy to say that there have been very few times in my life that I have felt scared enough to fear for my life. I was just thinking about this incident, which happened about 10 years ago now. It still sends chills up my spine and forever changed my attitude about exploring trails alone. I am from Northern California and was an avid mountain biker. I used to be so addicted to the adrenaline rush that I would ride almost every single day, and usually alone. My favorite trail was Tama Rancho in Marin County's town of Fairfax. The trail was designed for mountain bikers, so it was a great ride, and hikers tended to avoid it. If you are familiar with the trail, you know that it is quite remote and peaceful, but because it was an advanced riding trail, it was also empty most of the time. I would often complete my 2-hour ride without encountering another soul. That was part of the trail's beauty, but what also made this experience extra scary for me. I had been riding for more than an hour when I came around a bend and saw a hiker coming up the trail. He was the first person I had seen that day, and I was surprised it was not another biker, but instead the rare hiker. I started to slow down so we could pass, but he stepped off the trail for me. He stood behind a tree, with his head, just poking out to watch me pass. As I got closer, I said thank you, and smiled at him. And then, I saw his eyes. The best word I can use to describe them is dead. They were dark, empty, but somehow angry. There was just something not right about the guy. And I immediately got a bad vibe about my situation. Just past this guy, I had to enter a section of switchbacks, S-curves used to traverse a steep hill, before reaching a long stretch of straightaway trail. As I entered the first switchback, I suddenly heard something thrashing down the hill toward me. I just knew, in my heart of hearts, that this man was running straight toward me. I never once turned my head to look at him, but instead focused extremely hard on my riding, trying to get through the switchbacks as fast as possible without falling. All the while, the thrashing continued through each switchback and always straight toward me. When I exited the last switchback, I hit that stretch of straightaway and rode like hell. The thrashing sound faded as I got further and further away from the switchbacks, and I never looked back. I was still at least 15 minutes from the trailhead and scared to death, but I can tell you that I made it off that trail in record time and never once fell off my bike, and I never passed another person on the remainder of the trail. I am still freaked out by that incident, and I've tried over the years to come up with explanations to ease my fear. Maybe the guy fell off the trail and tumbled down the hill. But that is not possible because the trail on the first switchback would have stopped his fall. He also never made a sound, and falling people tend to grunt, moan, scream, or something. The thrashing sound kept changing directions, always heading right toward me. I also tried to convince myself it was a deer, but it was not possible either. The brush was not high enough to hide a large animal. I would have seen it as I made the turn. The creepy man would have passed it first and already scared it off, and scared animals do not tend to run toward the thing they fear. Therefore, I am absolutely convinced that I narrowly escaped an awfully bad situation and will always be grateful that my riding skills were good enough to outrun the guy. And I was lucky enough to come across him on a downhill path rather than a steep climb. I never returned to that trail because I was just too freaked out by it. I would still ride alone, but always in a more populated place. I now own a collapsible police baton about the size of a bike pump that I can use and strap to my bike. I have spent hundreds of hours on that trail alone, but one creepy guy in a scary incident changed my riding behavior forever. I have honestly never been so scared in my life.
Thanks for listening to these creepy and downright strange Deep Woods horror stories that'll freak you out tonight. If you enjoyed these stories, be sure to hit that like button as it helps me out a ton. Subscribe if you're new and turn on notifications so you never miss a new episode as I upload them multiple times a week in all things natural and supernatural. If you have a story that you would like to share in a future episode, be sure to submit your story at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I'd love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp, and stories like yours that help keep this show going on a daily basis. If you're on the go but don't have YouTube Premium, but want to download and listen to your favorite Swamp Dweller scary stories no matter where you are, you can download them absolutely free from Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and pretty much anywhere else you find your favorite podcast online.